Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Well, it lasted longer than we expected.
Yeah, he went about 6 minutes with the Trans 12 or so.
Charlie was the winner. He predicted that it would be a two-minute presentation, so he took home the $4.
If you're just tuning in, 5 o'clock here, Waddle and Sylvie, Jesse Rogers sitting in for Sylvie. Shohei Ohtani just spoke to reporters out in L.A., gave a, like I said, 12-minute statement or so with the translator in there. And we will play it in its entirety, the English portion, coming up in just a few seconds. He did admit or say, I should not necessarily
there was
admit.
No admission yeah,
there was
to
no
anything.
Admission on Ohtani. He basically threw the interpreter under the bus, said he never bet on anything, but the interpreter did. He never gave the okay for the interpreter to pay off the bookie, but he stole the money. We'll play it in its entirety in just a few seconds.
That deserves a deep dive as well, because I find that to be, this was the one scenario that I thought was least likely.
I agree with you.
I don't know how somebody gets access to all of your financial information to the point where they can make those
big
transfers. More than one.
Yeah, more than one.
On a consistent basis without you being alerted in any way, shape, or form.
And,
or your people.
And so,
like, whether or not he's like you and I following our own bank accounts, I'm sure he's got other people that actually, follow all of this stuff very closely. So
you would think. And so, I mean, I don't know what stealing $4.5 million gets you, but it's going to be some time in jail.
I would think so.
It's going to be some time in jail. But wow, what a story. So you'll hear from Ohtani through his translator, a new translator.
Yeah,
new
the,
interpreter
the
in
guy.
Just a few moments. 312-332-3776 if you want to sound off.
Are you want to go to Tyler's A-list, Aki's A-list? He's answering a phone call right now. And you know what he's doing? Because
they're editing the Ohtani comments. Are we going to do Aki's A-list?
You want to take
it's time for Aki's A-list. From the mind of the man who understands the four P's of Waddle's world, Aki's A-List. The top questions and topics floating around in Tyler Aki's mind.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Aki's A-List on ESPN Chicago.
All right, so not only is it the NFL's owners' meetings, but also we got ourselves a drop of the NFL win totals for the upcoming season as well.
All gambling all the time.
So the Chicago Bears slot in at 8.5. Now it's heavy juice to the over, -135 on the over for the Chicago Bears. But I feel like 8.5...
I'm going over.
Is more than six, which it was last year, right?
If they went, if they're under 8.5, something went wrong.
Yeah.
Or like they didn't. I expect them. They had 7 wins last year. If they don't get more than 8 wins, we're not going to be a happy crew.
Yeah, but it is a rookie quarterback, no matter how talented.
But Jesse
Manning went 1-15. I know it's a better team.
It's it's a much better team than the first overall pick would usually find himself on.
But still, to just say it has to be 9 or more for a rookie quarterback.
That's where my money would go.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you.
Especially, I don't think anyone's going to.
Look, everyone that talks about Caleb Williams talks like he's the next thing, so why would you say that?
Listen, it's a huge leap between saying I would emphatically or confidently take the over versus, hey, I think this team is a Super Bowl contender. That I don't believe.
Sure,
I think that they're.
9 is still 9-8.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a team that is still a work in progress in a lot of ways. But again, you've set up the infrastructure better. Your expectation is, as you made the change at quarterback, this kid, at least by the second half of the season, should be doing things better than your previous quarterback was doing. So my expectation level is that it will be at least 9 wins. I know a lot of guys, like Tyler asked us the question, Caleb Williams will probably be the odds-on favorite to be the rookie of the year. Right, Tyler? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If, in fact, he does win NFL rookie of the year, then if you were to project, if that was the case, hypothetically, then what would your, because my win total right now is 9, because I still think there are things to do. You still haven't beaten Green Bay. I'm excited, but I'm not delirious right now. If you told me that the first overall selection, Caleb Williams, went on to win the NFL Rookie of the Year award, I said I'd jump up my win total to 11.
So there's no doubt in your mind, just rating the quarterback, and they're different players, they bring different skill sets. There's no doubt in your mind, in year one, Caleb Williams should shoot past Justin Fields after 3 years.
For me, he should.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, again, statistically, look at Justin's year, and there was progress that was being made.
Right.
What did he throw for? I mean, what were statistically, the numbers aren't very difficult to overcome.
His QB rating is inflated by his running, right? I mean,
but even that wasn't.
No, I know. I agree.
Justin Fields last year threw for 2,562 yards with 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and ran for 657 yards. If Caleb Williams doesn't throw for more than 2,500 yards and 16 touchdown passes, I don't believe that this season has been a success.
I personally, just on a tangent, think it's a little unfair to say it that way, only because subtract 400 rushing yards and add them to passing yards, and Fields looks a little bit better. So my point is, you have to look at the combination of production overall and assess the guy, and it still wasn't
correct,
good enough.
But look at this. The line will be better.
Yeah.
You've added a better option as a backup tight end in Gerald Everett. You added DeAndre Swift as a change of pace back. You added Keenan Allen.
Yeah, no doubt.
You
no
may
doubt.
Draft another wide receiver. Right. Look, if in fact, I was for them, all I knew was what I had seen from Justin wasn't good enough, consistently enough for them to maintain status quo if, in fact, you felt strongly about one of the other guys. If you felt strongly about one of these draft picks, then to me it was a no-brainer. You pivot and you make that change. With that in mind, my expectation level then is going to be elevated because this isn't a guy walking into an environment with no talent.
Yeah.
He's walking into an environment where you'll struggle to find two or three better 1-2 combos at wide receiver in the whole National Football League. So I'm not telling you, Jess, it's going to be all, you know, blue skies and sunshine.
Right.
There will be moments. It will be a bit of a roller coaster ride. But at the end of the season, my expectation is that he's going to throw for better than 2,500 yards and 16 touchdowns.
Knowing Chicago and Chicago Bears fans, do you think that over 8.5 is going to just get hammered? Or do you think that's...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
Don't you think so, Todd?
That doesn't mean it's the wrong number.
Right.
You know,
it's just
casinos are still standing because many a public have been wrong about their team.
Yes.
But 8.5, yeah.
I think heavily juiced to the over as well, minus 135. I think it's like plus 110 for the under on the 8.5 there. So
listen, as I said, and it is, what is it, May 20 or March 25th? Yeah. I get it. I reserve the right to change how I feel about things as time goes on and things unfold. But right now, if they win 8 games or less, something didn't work the way that they had planned for it to work. Is that a fair statement?
I would agree. Yeah.
I mean
for this team, and just forget the quarterback, you've made a lot of improvements across your roster. You've upgraded your second receiver. You've upgraded your running back and tight end rooms. You've upgraded your defensive backfield as well. And then you're going to have not just the first overall pick, but the 9th overall pick as well, which may turn into more picks, too. That's
all well and good, but most of the time, the quarterback makes other people better. It can happen the other way around. So my point is,
no matter how
many people you put around him, he's still a rookie quarterback trying to make rookie quarterback reads.
No doubt.
And they make a lot of mistakes.
They do.
But he's the guy
who was there last year.
Right. No, I agree with that.
And he's the first overall pick in a quarterback-rich draft. And many people, I'm not going to use a generational term, but many people believe he can come in and have success early.
Yeah.
I'm one that believes he should come in and it shouldn't be a catastrophic rookie season.
6-11 or something.
A good year for a young quarterback stepping into a good environment.
And I have to remind myself, this isn't the 15th overall pick. This is the number one pick with good people around him, which, again, you know, doesn't subtract the mistakes, but they can help limit them, I guess.
I will be very disappointed if the quarterback play by the end of the season isn't better than what we've seen the previous three seasons.
312-332-3776. What else, Tyler?
Well, I think the other thing, too, with the quarterback situation is not only is he the first overall pick, but he's the first overall pick in a draft where, in all likelihood, the first seven picks are going to be offensive players.
Right. So and the first four could be quarterback.
Yeah, so if you're not hitting on this right out of the gate, then it would be
a disappointment.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a couple of other significant numbers I want to throw out there. First, I'll start in the division and just get your guys' thoughts on all of these. Detroit and Green Bay are both at 10.5. Detroit is juiced to the under. They're 10.5. Or they're both juiced to the under, actually. 10.5 minus 105 to go over. Green Bay 10.5 plus 130 to go over. Minnesota 6.5 minus 135 to go over.
Wow.
I could see why the under in Detroit is juiced because they're everyone's favorite team right now, right? I could see why. Now you go up to a first place schedule. Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be all sunshine and blue skies. I've used that phrase twice now. How about soft serve ice cream and wine? But they're still a good football team. Look, the Packers are an interesting commodity. I think that the young quarterback showed that he can play. They're a young team. I believe, don't they have just a treasure trove of picks, too? Because of the
Especially in like the first
100
2.5 rounds or three rounds.
Yeah, so they've got an opportunity to build on that team.
I mean, we don't even get a couple year reset with the Packers.
Well, everybody
they're right back at it.
Shame on whoever was like Sylvie sat over there and talked about how it couldn't happen. Shame on anybody
I thought it wouldn't happen either.
Just decided that the Packers were going to suck this year. Shame on you for believing that.
It is a reminder, and it just can't happen, that sitting for a year or two can never be a bad thing for a quarterback.
I think
he didn't look like a first-time starter.
No, but I mean,
By week three.
I think everybody's different. I think every individual has a different path.
No, I know, but
for him, it probably was beneficial.
Right. It's like, More time in the minors is never a bad thing. By the way,
he's not sitting behind Andy Dalton. He's sitting behind. He was sitting behind Aaron Rodgers.
Right, yeah. Sitting behind, right. Just like Rodgers sat behind Favre.
Right. So I'm just saying, if you're sitting behind a middle of the road quarterback, it may not be as beneficial as sitting behind someone who's an all timer.
Right. What else, Tyler?
All right. So a couple of the other ones, a team that Bears fans will have one eye on throughout the course of the season because you now own their second round pick for this upcoming season. That is the Carolina Panthers. They are tied with the New England Patriots for the lowest win total, each of them at 4.5. So you could potentially, based off of these odds that you're seeing here, be looking at also having the 33rd or 34th overall pick heading into next year as a result of that trade that you made last season.
That's why I'm not giving that pick up. Somebody talked about maybe swapping 9 and that pick for 4 to get Marvin Harrison Jr., whatever it was. I'm not moving up. I'm going to stay at 9 or move back. And that pick, for the reason you just mentioned, could end up being, you know how valuable that pick is, too? I mean, it's tremendously valuable.
Yeah, and I think when they traded for Keenan Allen, kind of closed the door on something major like that, like, ball can only go around one person at a time.
Oh, I still draft a wide receiver if he's available.
No, I would too, but you mean at 9. Yeah. Yes, 9, but I wouldn't try to move up to 4.
No, I wouldn't.
To do that. No. That's not maximizing the situation you're in.
I agree.
What else, Tyler?
All right, we've got the audio now of Shohei Ohtani's press conference, so let's listen in.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for coming. I wanted to be here today to be able to talk. I'm sure it was very tough. It's been a tough week for fans and team officials, and I'm very grateful that the media has been patient in this process. Just on a personal note, I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I'm trusted has done this. So obviously today there's things that I'm limited in being able to talk about. I hope you understand. I do have a document in front of me that I will refer to that will detail what has happened. So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies. Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting. So Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. And to the representatives in my camp, Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt and told my representatives that I was paying off those debt. And all of this has been a complete lie. So Ipe obviously lied about, you know, basically didn't tell me about the media inquiry. So Ipe has been telling everybody around that Ipe has been communicating with Shohei on all of this account to my representative, you know, to my representative, to the team, and that hasn't been true. The first time I knew about this gambling, Ipe's gambling, was during the after the first game when we had the team meeting in the clubhouse. So during the team meeting, obviously, Ipe was speaking in English, and I didn't have a translator on my side. But even with that, I kind of understood what was going on and started to feel that there was something amiss. Just prior to the meeting, I was told by Ipe, hey, let's talk one-to-one in the hotel after the meeting. So I waited until then. So up until that team meeting, I didn't know that Ipe had a gambling addiction and was in debt. And I never agreed to pay off the debt or, you know, make payments to the bookmaker. And finally, when we went back to the hotel and talked one-to-one, that was when I found out that he had a massive debt. And it was revealed to me during that meeting that Ipe admitted that he was sending money using my account to the bookmaker. And at that moment, obviously, it was an absurd thing that was happening, and I've contacted my representatives at that point. So when I was finally able to talk to my representatives, that's when my representatives found out that Ipe has been lying the whole time, and that's when I started contacting the Dodgers and my lawyers. And the Dodgers and the lawyers at that moment found out also as well that they have been lied to. And my lawyers recommended that, you know, since this is theft and fraud, that we have the proper authorities handle this matter. So, you know, in conclusion, I do want to make it clear that I never betted on sports or have willfully sent money to the bookmaker. You know, to summarize how I'm feeling right now, I'm just beyond shocked. It's really hard to verbalize how I am feeling at this point. And the season's going to start, so I'm going to obviously let my lawyers handle matters from here on out, and I am completely assisting in all investigations that are taking place right now. You know, I'm looking forward to focusing on the season. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to talk, and I'm sure there will be continuing investigations moving forward.
That's it.
Thank you very much.
So that was the extent of the press conference. What
wow.
do you make of it?
Wow. Again, the thought that I had, the strongest thought I had, was it was very unlikely that ultimately his assistant was going to be able to steal from him based on the amounts. And again, I don't know how his assistant got access to all of his accounts and was transferring money in those large amounts without Shohei having any type of knowledge of it.
Let's open it up to everyone else. 312-332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie, Jesse Rogers sitting in for Sylvie. That was Shohei Ohtani's new interpreter. That wasn't Shohei's voice. We edited it down just to the English. That's the new interpreter. The cojones on this guy, Tommy, in Korea, to be Shohei's only avenue to, like, his representatives and the Dodgers as the interpreter.
Right.
He's making up crap, telling the Dodgers and Shohei's people one thing, and then eventually he had to come clean. But he went to a Dodgers meeting, a clubhouse meeting with the team, and basically said, Shohei paid off my debts. Was Shohei sitting there?
Right.
But he did it in English, and Shohei didn't quite get it all, if this is all true.
Wow.
This is amazing. This guy tried to pull off a scam on top of a scam, if it's true. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that don't believe it, that there's no way he racked up this debt, that a bookie would allow an interpreter to rack up this debt, that Shohei wouldn't know that the money was stolen, like you said earlier. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that don't believe
it. Did the money come from an account that was Shohei's only, or was it an account that was financed?
It would be great to hear how he pulled this off, and I'm not sure we're ever going to hear it. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Like, he got into my computer. All you needed was a pet. Like, because that's what we're all wondering. How can he steal $4.5 million and not know about it until he admitted it? Like, even to that day, he didn't notice the money gone.
But I mean, this was happening for how? I mean, what's the timeline here?
At least a year. I think at least since October.
Okay.
But probably going back further. I'm talking about the payments. The payments at least since late last year.
I'm wondering, though, again, I know he's somebody of immense wealth, but how do you have several wire transfers and large amounts without some part of his inner circle, his team? Because this guy's just his interpreter, right? He's not his financial advisor.
No.
How are these wire transfers being able to be made without Shohei or his representatives being kept abreast of the situation?
312-332-3776. I mean, if it happened the way Shohei just said, man, that's tough. That he's going to have some trust issues for a long time, Shohei. I mean, that's your best friend, your only real, not only real friend, but he's your interpreter. He's your guy.
I thought it was more likely, you know, that he had not Shohei, but his interpreter had a problem, and Shohei was just helping him out.
Yeah. That's what makes sense.
This was the least likely presentation from my perspective.
We can't fathom someone stealing $4.5 million.
I guess, you know, I guess it happens all the time, but
without red flags, though, you know.
Like I said, I guess you know what? If you give somebody enough power or enough access to your stuff, maybe it can happen.
I get that Shohei may not have noticed the money gone. He might have $400 million in the bank.
Right.
That might. But some red flags somewhere. Indicating wire transfers are leaving his account.
Yeah. Interesting.
So it was the least likely scenario.
There are some skepticism some of our callers.
Let's see what Paulie has to say in Palm Beach. Paulie, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Paulie.
Real quick, before we talk about Shohei, the Bears won 7 games last year. 5 of them, those head coaches got fired. I count that as 2 wins. If you think they're going from 2 to 9, I would caution against that, all right? I am going to take 98% of the money on over. I'm telling you. I can tell already. Anyway, let me see if I got this straight.
I am, Paulie, listen, yeah. I'm not going to question your math. Everybody does their math, you know, however they want to do. But
go ahead.
I'm just not going to 110% agree with your math and coming up with just 2 wins. Now, I don't believe that. I'm not also one, Paulie, that believes you look at the other games that they collapsed on and just give them those wins going forward. You are who you are, but you and I just don't see that portion of the math. But anyway, go ahead.
But go ahead, okay, on Shohei.
So, all right, so let me tell you one of my quick favorite gambling stories. Got a guy bets through us. Lose $100,000 for football. I go into a restaurant in the middle of basketball season. I see the guy. I'm like, hey, Joe, what's going on? You're not playing basketball. And he looks at me and he says, basketball? What the hell do I know about basketball? Right? So my point is that if you don't think this guy or Shohei, and I think Shohei was betting too, we're betting baseball, I mean, he's total degenerate, right? He's going to bet anything and everything, but he's not going to bet on the one thing he has the biggest in on, right?
It's a good. It's an interesting question, Paulie.
Let me just bring this up too. My girlfriend's younger than I am. Waddle, you have young kids.
Yes.
Well, anytime she banks, her stock account, her checking, her savings, her credit cards, anytime anything ever gets done, she gets pinged.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
is made aware of it. You're going to tell me this guy didn't know? Plus, nobody's watching his account that's got over $5 million in it, and the guy doesn't speak English.
Yeah, that's the part I don't get.
Paulie, that's what I had the most trouble kind of processing is that there was zero, you know, custodial type of overseeing of any of this.
That's the part I don't understand either. Like, Shohei missing it? Like, does Tom Ricketts know what is in his? I'm just using an example. Like,
probably.
Maybe he does.
Probably.
Bad example. Reinsdorf for sure knows if a dollar leaves. But you know what I'm saying? Like, people that live in that stratosphere might not see everything every day, you know, their phone, but people that work with them, you know what I mean?
I think Paulie makes a good point too about how, listen, if you have this kind of gambling problem, like his interpreter did,
yeah.
I mean, are you going to believe that guy who allegedly now has lied? Are you going to believe that he did not make bets on baseball? And if so, how do you differentiate those bets?
Well, if he didn't, he's an idiot. If he's getting down millions and he doesn't pivot to baseball, then he's a really bad gambler.
Do you think, like maybe to play a little bit of devil's advocate, do you think that there's probably a lot of athletes who, like, they get their money and then they say, I'm just going to worry about my game. I'm not really even going to think too much about what's going on in my bank account. I'm going to leave that up to other people, and maybe these other people weren't being fully transparent with him, or am I just being a little naive?
He may not follow it closely,
right?
But I find it hard to believe that he doesn't have to sign off on something, especially of a significant value, and to have access. I mean, who's to say if I let you have access at this level, how am I to know that you won't drain the entire account? So, I think a lot of times when athletes are defrauded of a lot of their money, a lot of it happens because they are coerced into bad investments.
Yeah.
Not because somebody has stolen from them because they had access to all of their funds. But I may be wrong. Maybe somebody who has access to managing money for high net worth people could give you a better description of how this is more possible than we think.
All right, we're going to take a break. The phone lines are jammed, so we're going to go with this topic probably the rest of the way. At the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Alden Gonzalez, ESPN MLB reporter out in L.A., who's covered Shohei for years with the Angels, now with the Dodgers. He really understands Ohtani as well as anybody out there. This whole thing is still weird, but Ohtani, if you're just tuning in, claiming his former interpreter, Ipe, stole all the money unbeknownst to Ohtani, who says he never bet on anything, and it was all Ipe. 312-332-3776, the number, Jesse Rogers. Sitting in for Mark Silverman, it's Waddle and Silvey on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Silvey are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I haven't seen the phone lines this jam since the Justin Fields debate began nine months ago. Yeah. So we're talking Shohei Ohtani right here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers and Tom Waddle for another hour. Shohei met the media just a little while ago. We played it for you. We'll play some more later on.
Adamant that he never bet on sports.
And that
says the interpreter stole money. And yep. I thought this was interesting from Andrew Brandt, who was part of the Green Bay Packers front office for so many years on the financial side, said either Ohtani is not telling the truth or has the worst best friend, interpreter, accountant, manager, agent, and bank in history. And that's where I'm at, Jess. I just maybe it's just I'm coming from a position of ignorance or not enough knowledge, but I just don't know how that happens
It's crazy. Did you know this, Tommy? Go ahead.
Well, can I throw a tangential wrinkle into this whole thing, too? And this is just now coming down from Woj. that Jontay Porter of the Toronto Raptors has been pulled from the lineup tonight after an investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months to some of his props.
Gotta be kidding. This could be the tip of the iceberg here, the tipping point. Wow.
Well, I mean, look, there was going to be Jesse, when you invite legalized gambling into the arena, which I'm good with. You know, we're all adults. There are rules and regulations. And if you can't follow the rules, then you're going to pay the price. And sometimes that means you're no longer going to be able to pursue the career that you want to pursue.
Crazy.
And the actual revenue that is created from the interaction and the relationship with the betting industry has helped raise salaries in different sports. So, like, if you've got a couple of guys in each sport that aren't willing to follow the rules, then I don't think that it means that it's a horrible relationship with the gambling entities. It just means that you've got guys that don't know how to follow different rules.
Yeah, it's just a slippery slope. The easier it is to gamble, the more people are going to be tempted to do some things they shouldn't be doing.
I don't disagree with that, Jess, but at some point, we always want to be empowered, right? We always want to I don't want to be limited by somebody else making decisions on my behalf and telling me what to do.
Yeah.
So guess what? These are the rules.
Yeah.
The available pool for salaries has grown because we have a relationship with DraftKings and FanDuel and BetRivers and everybody else. But also part of this is you can't gamble. Or these are the set rules with regard to the sport that you're participating in. And that's, if you can't follow the rules, then guess what? You can't be part of the league. I mean, part of me is, yes, 100%. It's a slippery slope because you have made it easier for people to get involved with these things. But the other part of me is like, you're a damn adult. And this is your livelihood. You know, you want to be in control of your destiny, then you're in control of your destiny. And we're going to take the guardrails, as many guardrails away from you as possible. But you just can't do this.
Right.
And when you do that, you're going to pay the piper, so to speak. So, I mean, it's not that I don't have sympathy for people that find themselves with issues like this, but it's pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty black and white.
Now, this is a different story because Ohtani is saying his buddy did all this, not himself. So we'll find out more, I'm sure, in the coming days and weeks. Let's go to Matt on the south side as the lines are jammed. Matt, you're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Hey, Matt.
Two things. One, there's no humanly way possible that anybody could sign off on $4.5 million over that amount of time through any kind of wire transfer without being involved in it. Anytime, you know, you transfer money over $100,000 or even less than that, there's people on the other end verifying that transaction. And my second question is, who are the bookmakers for this?
It's a guy.
Does anybody know?
Matt Boyer in California
is being investigated for running an illegal gambling shop.
Okay.
No, it just seems crazy that he wouldn't have known. $4.5 million is a lot of money to go missing. So
right, I'm with you, Matt. Like, listen, maybe I'm missing something here. I'm no expert with regard to wiring money, but.
Yeah, let's. If there is an expert out there, there's got to be some bankers out there. 312-332-3776. I guess the question for an expert would be: is it possible? Is it possible for him to have pulled this off without Shohei knowing? That's what I want to know. Is it at least possible? Maybe improbable, but I want to know if it's possible. Let's go to Corey and Carol Stream. You're on ESPN 1000. Corey, you there?
Corey.
Going once,
yo, Corey.
Twice. Daniel and Skokie, you're next up on ESPN. What's happening, Daniel?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I disagree with the previous caller. It is very possible for this to happen, and I'll tell you why. There's a fairly well-known cyber crime called the man-in-the-middle crime, where the bad actor, in this case the translator, defrauds both the victim, Ohtani, and the bank. So what he does is he has access to the bank account. Nope. And then what he tried, when he wires it, all he has to do is assume the identity of Ohtani. So when the bank calls to verify, which a lot of banks, all they do is call, all he has to do is say, I'm Ohtani, I approve this transfer. This is a fairly well-known crime that happens a lot to not-for-profit businesses. Typically, it's not when there's someone that has a relationship like Ohtani and his translator did. But unfortunately, banks, you'd think that they'd have more securities in place, but oftentimes, even with this large of a wire transfer, it's just a phone call.
Yeah, but so Daniel, let me ask you this question, though. With regard to somebody who has probably has the infrastructure built in because he is an industry himself, like Ohtani, what I find hard, I'm not suggesting what you're saying isn't possible. I find it hard to believe that there would be a series of these types of transfers that would not have caught the attention of one of the people that manages Ohtani's financials or his business itself.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That part of it, all I do know is that from the banking standpoint, to allow the actual money to be transferred, it just takes a phone call to verify. So if the translator had access or had provided a different cell phone number or had access to Ohtani's cell phone, then the transfer goes through. I don't know at that point, you know, if someone's keeping that close of watch.
Yeah, my personal, and thanks for the call, Daniel, my personal experience, and again, this was not transferring $500,000. Yeah. This is, but like, I pay my daughter's tuition through a wire transfer most of the time. Or that's not necessarily true. It's sent in a check, but I go through a process, whatever. But I have wired a decent amount of money to somebody else. And before that wire is sent out, it's not a phone call. I have to log on to my brokerage account and go line item through everything to make sure. And then I have to, before the wire is sent, I have to hit an authorize button.
Mm-hmm.
So
feels like there's some layers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it feels weird. And again, Jess, maybe like he described, you can get around that to some degree. I would find it hard to believe that with someone like him that probably has as many people involved in his business interests, that wasn't brought to someone's attention.
During the break, I could get a baseball agent on just to tell us, like, would somebody get some alerts outside the player? You know, we could do that. Let's go to Brett in North Aurora. You're on ESPN 1000. Brett?
Yeah, you know what? First of all, I love the show. And absolutely, it can be done. So if what you just described is one of the systems that you did the wire transfer and you had your system set up on your brokerage side. So Shohei Ohtani probably has, like, private client services. He probably has numerous people working for him. Number one, I guarantee somebody at the bank is going to get in a lot of trouble. There's probably a lot of heat at the bank right now going, what did happen? But, yeah, he probably did have something. He probably signed paperwork. He probably signed something there where he could call it in because he's traveling so much, because he's got stuff going on. I don't know. Every bank has different systems set up. So, and probably had something where his interpreter could probably do some of this stuff. I mean, I've got if $5 comes out of my account, notice it.
Right.
I was raised by my grandpa who would he would notice if change was out of his account. So I think it's dumb. I don't know how these guys do this. Don't, if you're an athlete, don't sign a power of attorney. Make sure that anything that comes out of your account, you know it comes out of your account. So, I mean, Shohei lives a different lifestyle.
But we don't know. We don't know whether or not he has granted that power to anybody.
Right. So yeah,
maybe he runs his business like you and I.
But I agree with the call. Yeah. Like, it seems feasible that he might hand it over and a little bit.
I don't know why there was $500,000 coming out like that. That was something probably that I think maybe that seems a little suspicious too, that somebody was trying to hide something. The lower dollar amount was probably something where he was trying to keep it, you know, a little less noticeable. 4.5 comes out. Maybe that's noticeable. We don't have his bank account.
No.
So that's something where maybe that was something where, hey, that's a sign a little bit in Shohei's a favor, because he would, you know, they're kind of layering it. It's not $5 million. That's a big wire.
Right.
So so that kind of, like, when you guys said that, I'm like, oh, that kind of does sound like somebody's trying to hide something. You know, and I was trying to think, too, like, I kind of thought it was funny, too. As soon as Joey got married, the wife probably noticed it.
You know what? That's a good point.
Thanks for the call. That's how this all came out. That's good. Let's take a break. Maybe we'll play a little bit of Shohei if you're just tuning in, if you're leaving work. Ohtani addressed the media about an hour ago and put it all on his former interpreter, Ipe. Said he stole the funds. He was the one gambling, and he didn't know anything about it until they were in Korea last week. 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers, Tom Waddle, till 6:30 here on ESPN 1000.
Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Listen to the show in HD at 100.3 HD2 FM. Listen now on ESPN 1000. This is Waddle and Sylvie, ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
5:50 on this Monday, Jesse Rogers sitting in for Sylvie along with Tom Waddle here till 6:30. We'll crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah in just a bit. I just got
any
off the
chance,
phone.
Real quick, any chance at the next break I can get all your banking information and your passwords?
The only difference is
we're cool.
Maybe $45 in there, not $4.5 million.
It all helps.
Especially with your betting. I just got off the phone with
that's nine bets for me.
I just got off the phone with a prominent baseball agent, and he just said it's very unlikely, from his clients at least, money would leave their account without it triggering, you know, major money leaving their account without it triggering it to their accountant or money guy or financial guy. Like, somebody would.
Well, this is what drew notice. This is what kind of pushed my antennas up, Jess, is that this wasn't one bank transfer.
Yeah.
This was a series of bank transfers over a longer period of time, right?
And the other thing is, yeah, it was. And the other thing is, Shohei doesn't work for like some small agency or, you know, CAA
is his
creative artist agency, right? Yeah. I mean, it's big time. Now, Shohei is a little bit different. Like, he's kind of a unicorn in a lot of ways for obvious reasons. Like, Shohei's agent has one client, Shohei. So they're kind of off to the side of CAA.
Which to me would mean that
he'd be all over it.
Yes, is that the alarm bells go off quicker for them than it does for the average guy.
If this is all true, do you think Shohei's on the phone to this one, you know, guy and he's like, "What? How did you let this happen, right? You didn't see money leaving my account like that? Or have some triggers in place
for it?" That's why I still have more questions than I believe there are answers.
Jim in Elmhurst, you're next up on ESPN 1000. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I work for a top 20 bank in the U.S. I'm on the commercial side, but we all get training on the consumer side, so I can shed some light on the Shohei thing for you a little bit. You know, first of all, he has to have a U.S. bank for his payroll to be deposited, but what he does with it after that, if he transfers that all to a Japanese bank, well, now all bets are off because I don't know what the Japanese rules are. I can tell you in the U.S., whether it's a check or whether it's a wire transfer over $10,000 gets flagged and automatically gets reviewed. And bookies, and I mean, this had to be set up as a legitimate kind of looking company, not a betting company, because a lot of the banks won't even deal with betting companies. You know, they're like on a restricted list. And then we also go through, when we set up accounts, something called Know Your Customer, which is a pretty in-depth form about Shohei. And so I find it hard to believe that any transfer that came out of that account over $10,000 would have got flagged. They would have seen the banker assigned to that account. If he would have seen, or she would have seen, repeats to the same customer over and over and over again.
Yes.
That would have put a big red flag up, and they would have investigated that, and for sure Shohei would have been notified about that activity in the account. Now, that's all if it's a U.S. account. Now all bets are on.
But is a bookie taking a wire from a Japanese bank? I don't know.
I think bookies take money from wherever it's coming from, as long as it's, you know.
But is there an extra hurdle that makes difficult to clear for him to get his money?
again, what draws my suspicion more than anything is this wasn't one transfer. This was a series of transfers over a period of time.
Right.
And that's why I felt like this would be hard to do for the reasons the caller just mentioned.
Let's go to Rick in Arlington Heights. You're next up, Rick. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I'm not really buying the whole interpreter thing. I'm kind of thinking he's getting thrown under the bus. I've tried to transfer money like that before, and they're asking me stuff that it took me 10, 15 minutes to get it all cleared up. And that wasn't even nowhere near the amounts that we're talking here. I'm thinking, from what I can tell, the day before, the interpreter went out there before the lawyers, knew he was what he was doing. He was telling the truth, and then the lawyers heard that and said, "Wait a minute, now we gotta walk that back." So, I really don't think there's any possible way that amount of money, especially after the first one, they would, you know, at least freeze the account for a while and do all kinds of checks.
Yeah, it's just odd to me.
Sounds like
it's. But again, I'm not an expert in the banking industry,
a few people have called and said it is possible. Just you get a phone call, but like you said, multiple times. But maybe he had this down.
I did not have to confirm verbally. I had to actually do it through the brokerage account, the online service. Like through my private client account, I had to confirm it that way. Not just, hey, this is Eddie from, not Eddie from the north side, but this is Eddie from the bank over here. See that you got a $500,000 transfer. Just want to make sure that that's going to that guy out in California who you owe a couple million dollars for because you suck at gambling. Yep, that's right. Okay,
hey,
good.
Bank.
Let's go to Mark in Los Angeles. He was at the show. No, he. Mark, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm learning a lot from all your callers. It was interesting. The last caller was saying about how banks handle their clients, but something just occurred to me while listening. It's interesting that this came to light after their trip to Korea. Is it possible somebody from a Japanese bank? There are a lot of Japanese bank branches, I bet, in Korea. And maybe somebody from the bank approached whomever, and that's the way things got out.
No. ESPN has been investigating this for a couple months. And
The bookie's been under investigation for 6 months, right?
Yeah. So thanks for the call. That they call, ESPN, you got to give them credit. They found this out.
Oh, yeah.
They exposed this guy. They exposed him. I mean, Shohei should be thankful for ESPN. This guy would still be stealing if this is all how it went down.
And the reason, listen, I would just say this as well, as some people may think to themselves, why is this a big deal? It's a big deal because he is the most marketable star, the biggest star in Major League Baseball at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's, exactly.
The season is beginning. He signed a $700 million contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers. They're in Seoul trying to improve the revenue streams and the saleability of the league around the world as an international entity. Like, this is the league's biggest star. And oh, by the way, the biggest black eye the sport has ever had, probably, or one of them, has been the Pete Rose situation, the all-time hits leader who has been banned from baseball for gambling as well. So, like, this is nothing that just gets swept under the rug.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Alden Gonzalez, who is at the press conference. He's ESPN's MLB reporter out in Los Angeles. He's covered Ohtani for years with the Angels, now with the Dodgers. Alden's been all over SportsCenter today. We'll talk to him in 3 minutes right here on ESPN 1000.